Over the past considerable number of Sunday mornings, we have been thinking together about the general theme of living the Christian life. And we have ranged over a number of subjects within that general theme, such as Christian assurance, Christian growth, Christian fellowship, Christian warfare, Christian love, and so on. And this morning, I want to come to the second last of these. We will finish the series next Sunday morning. And our theme this morning, as I was saying to the children, is Christian joy. Now, the really striking thing that I need to say to you first of all, and to my great surprise, is this, that this appears to be a highly unpopular theme. So far as I am aware, scarcely anything of substance has been written on it over the last 100 years. So far as I know myself, I don't remember having preached on it before. You may think after I'm finished that I should not do it again, but I don't think I have preached on the subject of Christian joy before. I've certainly almost never heard anybody else preach on the theme of Christian joy. But the fact remains that the Bible is full of this theme. The whole word structure occurs something like 400 different times in the Bible. And yet, while we are eager to point out that the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, we seldom give emphasis to the fact that the second fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We have rightly emphasized the Shorter Catechism's answer to its first question, what is the chief end of man? And we say man's chief end is to glorify God. But we don't often go on to express the second part of that answer, and to enjoy Him forever. Now, one of the reasons for our reluctance, I suppose, to think or speak much about Christian joy is that it's very easy for us to confuse the Christian concept of joy with the quite pagan concept of joviality, or even just ordinary happiness. Most biblical Christians are afraid to give support to the notion that the badge of evangelical Christianity is a broad, affected grin, and that Christian people have a vested interest in appearing to everybody else always to be smiling. And they recognize that, rightly, as being an artificial, somewhat affected thing. It also is important that we should recognize the danger of giving the impression that the gospel is a call to a happy, trouble-free life. We know both from Scripture and from experience that that is not true. Yet we read this morning that believing in Christ, 1 Peter 1:8, we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And it is an important thing for us to ask, do we really express this in our lives? Do we know something of the reality of this which seems to dominate so much of the Bible? The whole idea that in God's salvation, we are to become His joyful people. Now, very obviously, we need to seek a distinctive definition of Christian joy. And I want to try to do that in relation to different things. It is distinguished, of course, from mere joviality. in that it is not a matter of personality. Christian joy, like Christian love, is not something that you have because you have a particular kind of personality or emotional makeup. If you are a cheerful, jovial person, that just happens to be part of your personality and is in no way distinctively Christian. Christian joy is also distinguished from ordinary happiness, although I was using the word for the sake of the children. Because happiness, of course, is a response to circumstances. If pleasant things happen, we are happy. If unpleasant things happen to us, we are, generally speaking, unhappy. And somebody can act in such a way that wrecks your happiness. People may be happy, and then overnight it has disappeared. But of Christian joy, Jesus said, "Your joy no man can take from you." So that Christian joy is distinguished from happiness. It's also distinguished from pleasure, in that it is not a response of our senses to certain stimuli. You will realize that pleasure is a response of our senses to a stimulus either from a high or a low source. And therefore we may know refined and noble pleasure because we have been stimulated from a certain source that is noble and refined. Or we may know base pleasure because our stimuli have been themselves base. Indeed, Christian joy often exists in the context of pain, according to the New Testament. So how can we define it? Let me suggest this definition to you. Christian joy is an inward condition of the soul, resulting from our relationship with God, transformingly affecting the whole of our life. It is focused on God. It is mediated through Christ, and it is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Christian joy is an inward condition of the soul, resulting from our relationship with God, which transformingly affects the whole of our life. Its focus is on God. It is mediated to us through Christ, and it is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to spend the rest of our time this morning thinking within these three areas about the Bible's teaching on Christian joy. It is focused on God, it is mediated through Christ, and it is produced in us by the Holy Spirit, because of course it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me draw your attention to the first of these things that is focused on God. That is, in the sense that God is both its author and its object. Biblical joy finds its origin in God, as the psalmist exemplifies again and again when he says, "You have made me glad." In other words, the origin of true Christian joy does not come from circumstances, nor does it come from personality. It comes from God. "You have made me to be glad." Sometimes it is by your word. In Psalm 119 you get this frequently. "I rejoice in your word more than in riches," says the psalmist. So God makes us glad by the words that he speaks to us. More frequently, it is because of his works. "We will rejoice in your salvation. It is what God's hand has done. It is His mighty acts in our own history, or in the world's history, or in the history of His people, that produces true biblical joy. But wherever you look in the Bible, the author of true Christian joy is God Himself. In your presence, the psalmist says, is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, one of the reasons for that is that God Himself is described in the Bible as the ultimate possessor of joy. It is the joy of the Lord that the Levites say to the people of God gathered together in Nehemiah 8. It is the joy of the Lord that will be your strength. And you find Jesus Himself picturing God in this way. He says, for example, in Luke 15, in these three stories, the most familiar of which is the prodigal son, that God Himself finds joy. He celebrates when certain things happen, when a sinner repents, when one who is lost has been found, when situations occur that salvation has come to this house. Then God is pictured as a rejoicing shepherd. He is pictured as one who has found what he is searching for. And he calls his friends and neighbors to rejoice. So says Jesus, in heaven there is joy over the repentance of those who come back to him. But the really unique thing about Christian joy is that God is not only the origin of it, he is the object of it. So Paul says in Romans 5:11, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Mary in the Magnificat sings, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, this is how the New Testament urges us to exercise this fruit of the Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord. He, in other words, is the object of it. And that, of course, is the unique thing about Christian joy. It is only the believer who is able to find his delight in God. But when someone has been brought to God through Jesus Christ, what has happened to them is that their joy and their delight are focused now upon God, not upon things, or primarily upon other people even. And this, of course, is why true Christian joy cannot be shaken by events and survives under the most adverse conditions. The reason for that is that God is unchanging. And God is faithful. And God will never leave His people. And the result is that if I fix my joy in anything else, I discover that it is at the least shifting and at the most transient, and that this joy therefore fades. But if my joy is in God, then because He is unchanging and because He is faithful, Jesus says, no man can take your joy away from you. Now this is why James is able to say to the Christians to whom he writes, count it all joy when you fall into diverse testings. Now that would be an extraordinary thing. It sounds almost like an invitation to masochism. But of course, it is because our joy is in God, because our delight is in Him, because we are able to say, the Lord is my portion, O my soul. Because the language of the believer is,
Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none on earth that I desire beside thee.
Therefore, joy in the Lord becomes the strength of the souls of his people. That's why that marvelous statement in the prophecy of Habakkuk sums up so much of what the Bible teaches us about joy. Do you know the last few verses of the book of Habakkuk? From chapter 3, verse 17, the prophet says, though the fig tree does not bud, now he's describing catastrophe after catastrophe in the ancient world, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now, what is it that produces that? Well, it is the character of a man whose great business in life is to come to know God more deeply. And as he does, and as his soul is enlarged with the greatness and goodness of God, he rejoices in him, and other things begin to become more peripheral because the Lord is the portion of his soul. That's why Paul is able to say in 2 Corinthians, when he is writing to the Corinthians about various tensions that exist in the life of the believer, we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's why you see this whole idea of affecting a kind of inane grin about life is the very reverse of what Christian joy is. Christian joy is a reality even through tears. Christian joy remains when every cause for happiness goes, because when the Lord is the sweetest portion of your soul, you discover that he never changes, that his wisdom never fails, that his promises are never forsaken, and that his sovereign power is always the same. Now, it is that anchor to the souls of God's people that enable them to say, though sorrowful, we are always rejoicing. Now, I am bound to say to you that I have seen in the lives of many of God's people who have gone through days of great darkness and difficulty and adversity, this gracious reality of a joy in God which nothing can take away. And my dear friends, we need to find it in our own lives. I think very often it is a mark of the shallowness of our spiritual experience that we know so little of this and have to substitute for it a kind of affected effervescence. Here's the second thing, and more briefly. Christian joy is mediated through Christ. So Paul says in Romans 5:11, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation. That is, the place where we have most cause to rejoice in God is where he has most displayed his love for us and provided for us a Savior. So this joy comes through Jesus Christ.
And the more the believer is taken up with Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross and the glorious display of the love of God in Jesus Christ, and the more he explores what salvation really means, past and present and future, the more he is able to experience this true joy of which Jesus speaks. So in 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3, he breaks out, writing, you will remember, to a suffering people. Because 1 Peter is an epistle that is addressed to those who are suffering. Do not think it strange, he says to them in chapter 3, concerning the fiery trial that you are going through. There is a fiery trial that these people are passing through. Yet he bursts out into praise in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins to go through the glories of what God has done for them. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he expands on the glories of God's salvation. Now he says, believing in him, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Now that's a reality, you see. You cannot express this. It defies words. It goes beyond language. But when you have found in a glorious Redeemer like the Lord Jesus Christ such sweetness that passes knowledge, such joy that goes outside of the realm of ordinary human experience, then, he says, this is the greatest riches that any human being could experience. It is a joy beyond expression and full of glory. Therefore, how is Christian joy mediated to us? Well, it is the joy of the Lord Jesus in the Father. And he gives that joy to us. My joy remaining in you is what Jesus speaks of. Now, what is Jesus' joy? What's the great characteristic of Jesus' joy? What made him joyful? And if you have any doubts that the Lord Jesus was joyful, listen to this in Luke chapter 10. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said. The Lord Jesus was not a lugubrious figure. He was filled with joy, but it was joy in the Father. His joy was to do the Father's will. His delight was in the Father's presence. And this joy he gives to us. What was it that urged him on to the cross? The Epistle to the Hebrews tells us, for the joy that was set before him. That is the joy of his Father's smile upon him and of his welcome to him. This is Jesus' joy. And this is the joy that he mediates to us. It is not only Jesus' joy that is mediated to us, it is mediated to us through faith in him. You notice you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, so that it is as we trust him that joy is produced in our lives. Not only so, but you cannot get away from the fact in the New Testament that this Christian joy is fostered in us, as it was in Christ, by obedience to the Father's will. You notice in John 15, where Jesus says, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Now listen to this. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. How is our joy completed? The same way that Jesus' joy was completed, by doing the Father's will. Now, my dear friends, that's corroborated for us in Christian experience. You spend your time ignoring the will of God, and you will know almost nothing of the joy of the Lord in your life. Isn't that true? Nothing makes us more miserable as Christians than self-will and disobeying God and living in direct disobedience to His commandments. That produces misery in our Christian experience.
But when we live in obedience to Him, then we discover something of the joy of the Lord flooding our souls. Here's the last thing. It is produced in us, this Christian joy, by the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit, like love and peace and self-control and all these other things. We cannot produce it ourselves. That's why trying to affect it is so silly. Because we cannot produce this ourselves. The Holy Spirit produces it in us. But you will know that the Holy Spirit uses means to do what He does. And the means that He uses are varied. He helps us to know God, for example, through Holy Scripture. That's one of the ways that we come to delight in Him. So as we come to His Word, the Holy Spirit helps us to come to know God and therefore to rejoice in Him. And we find ourselves gradually rejoicing in His Word as well. So the psalmist frequently says, I rejoice in your word more than, and then he thinks of some delight that he may have. He helps us to have dealings with God in prayer. Ask and receive that your joy may be full. And He alone is able to make us more like Christ, delighting in the Father's will and bowing in obedience to Him, so that our joy, like His, may be complete. It is something that we greatly need in our own day, and it's not really surprising in so many ways, because it is just another way of saying we need to delight in God more and more and more as we grow closer to Him. And as we delight in Him, we shall know that joy which the world cannot give, believe me, and which it cannot take away. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before You, giving You thanks that You have made us glad by Your grace to us in Jesus Christ. We have so much in which to rejoice before You as Your people, and we ask that You would open the eyes of our understanding and grant that we may grasp something of Your glory, that we may gladly say, the Lord is my portion. I delight in Him. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.